we should read our Bibles
as men digging for buried treasure.
When the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he divided mankind, he fixed the borders of peoples according to the number of the sons of God.
In those days, and for some time after, giant Nephilites lived on the earth, for whenever the sons of God had intercourse with women, they gave birth to children who became the heroes and famous warriors of ancient times.
Take no part in the fruitless deeds of darkness, but yet expose them.
Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you.
Life's a garden, man. You gotta dig it. Hello, fellow treasure hunters. Welcome to the excavation site. I'm Justin. Alongside me, we got Ben, Steven, and Chad. We'll be your guides on this excursion. Hope you brought your shovel and your compass, because we got the map. Let's dig.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I guess it's after Easter weekend. He's risen. Everybody have a good Easter?
We did.
Went well.
Absolutely.
Good deal.
Very blessed.
Well, this time we're going to, we got our first guest speaker. So we're real excited about that, ain't we, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man.
It's going to be a evolution versus creation discussion here. I think you guys are really going to enjoy it.
I'm anxious to hear somebody else talk besides you yahoos, you know?
Oh, yeah, exactly. We can just sit back and enjoy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Ben, you want to lead us off in prayer, buddy?
I will. Dear Lord, thank you for this beautiful day today. Please have this message reach the people you need to reach it. Please open our minds so we can take it in. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, Stephen.
So who do we have? Who is the special guest?
Who's the mystery man?
Well, I think Stephen should introduce this guy. This is his guest.
Well, I kind of have a little bit of affinity for this guy. He is my father. However, since I was a child, he did a lot of different. He would do this for different churches, different organizations that ask him to do these creation evolution, like versus evolution type seminars to kind of really show the holes and the gaps and like the evolutionary theory and really. Kind of show how ultimately it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it really does to believe that there's a creator out there, someone who has the intelligent design that it took to create this world. So he really has some. I've listened to a lot of his sessions before and some of the information. It really will open up a lot of eyes. It'll really open your mind. And even if you or somebody who already believes, it just gives you more ammunition to tell somebody, hey, look at what's going on. Look outside. You can't tell me that this all happened on accident. So I'm going to let him kind of take it away here, and we're going to kind of go from there.
Well, all right. I want to thank you guys, first of all, for letting me join you here in this podcast. And this is exciting for me. We're talking about a subject that I'm really passionate about. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of interesting because you can see God's hand in everything. In my life, I can see God's hand in everything I've done, everything I do, all the places I've ended up. After being a school teacher for many, many years and starting in the science end of things and then eventually transitioning into a theology department in a Christian high school. I've had a big range of topics here, and this has really been neat stuff. I grew up in a Christian church and a Christian home, and I thank God all the time for my parents and my grandparents and them praying for me. And there's no question about it. And I know I gave my parents a very difficult time as I was growing up, and God still had His hand on me in a lot of neat ways. It became very, very important to me as I met my wife, Julie, and we got married and started a family and stuff that I did for my kids what my parents did for me, and that was going to church. That was reading the Bible. That was making that an important part of their life. And going to Christian schools. They went to Christian schools all their lives. I never had that opportunity as a kid. But that became very, very important. And in all the public school training that I've had, the idea of the Earth being created 13.7 billion years ago, or the universe coming into being at the Big Bang 13.7 billion years ago, and the Earth coming about 4.5 billion years ago, and life evolving about 4 million years, well, human beings, this type of thing was always taught as fact, was always put there at the beginning and said, this is how it is. And it was never, some people think this, no, this is how it is. And that's all my friends were. That's how a lot of my teacher friends were, and going to science conferences and stuff like that. And you read the Bible, and you look at what the Bible says, and it says in Genesis 1:1, you know, God created the heavens and the earth. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm getting two different points of view, and I have confusion in my head. And so I began to study this more and more as we went along. And I always been a young earth creationist, and I'm gonna say right up front that I do not understand all the Hebrew and all the Greek, and I do not understand all the science that's behind everything, but I do believe in the end that when we stand there in the presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior in heaven, that we will be able to see how all these things fit together and look back and go, wow, yeah, God, you're in control, you put this together, and it all worked out.
Amen.
You know, you want to give a reason, like it says in 1 Peter 3:15, right, for the hope that you have. Be able to give a reason. Sound intelligent. I think it's important as a Christian that you need to sound intelligent. And when someone asks you, well, what do you think about carbon-14 dating? What do you think about potassium-iridium dating? What do you think about these types of things? And how do you give an answer for that when it comes to your faith in the Bible and what God has done? And so many people say, well, you know, you can believe in God. I believe in science. Well, my answer for that right away is, well, God invented science. God is the ultimate scientist. God put that all together. There's no question about it. So one thing I really like to bring up and talk about, and I would do this in my classroom quite a bit too, and because kids would come in all the time, and they struggle, especially in high school when everything around them says that the universe is billions of years old, but yet the Bible, when you look at it and you add up the genealogies, you know, we're somewhere between 6,000 and 10,000 years old. And how does that work? How is that? What? You know, it's pretty obvious, I think, when you look around. It says in Romans 1:20, you know, that the evidence of God is all around you. Just look at what's been created. When you look at the plants, you look at the animals, you look at the variety of life, it's just amazing to me. And then all the kids, they go into biology class, right? And what do you learn in biology class? Life comes from life. But one time it didn't. That's what we're told. One time it came from nothing. And I'm like, wait a minute here. Well, let's talk about life a little bit. You know, let's look at your body a little bit. And you think of the systems that make up your body. You got a skeletal system. You got a muscular system, you got an immune system, you got a reproductive system, and it just goes on and on. The endocrine system, and you've got, in the circulatory system, you've got 100,000 miles of blood vessels and capillaries that go. And this all happened all by itself?
You know, beautiful accident.
Random.
I like this one guy. He said it's like a tornado rolling through a junkyard. He said in a fully restored 1970 and painted. Running 1970 Challenger coming out at the end.
Yeah, it's a good analogy.
Yeah. How come I don't have one then?
Exactly.
Absolutely. So it's interesting when you look at that. You look at the nervous system and the how many nerves you got to go back to the moon, 238,000 miles and back. In your body, your body is made up of 100 trillion cells or 80 trillion, depending on the textbook that you're looking at. So this is one thing I would do with the kids, and I guess I would like to have you guys walk through this with me one time. It's kind of an interesting little work here that we do in class. So I made a copy for you. I'll pass those around and give everybody a calculator.
Oh, no.
A little math class here. So if you take a look at that, So we talk about a couple things. I would give you an example. Let's say you're in college class and you walk in your biology class there, and the teacher says, got an overhead projector there, and takes out a worm and flops it on the overhead projector and says, by the end of the class period, this worm is going to turn into a person. And you would drop your head down and scratch your head and go, oh my gosh, how much money did I pay for this class? I can't believe it. This worm's going to turn into a person? There's no way. I'm paying money for this as education? That's not right. So I'll tell you what. The professor would say, in 4 million years, this worm will turn into a person. And what do all the students do? Oh, write that down real quick. That's right. Now it makes sense, right? Time is the magic thing here. Time is the magic number that makes everything happen. Well, I like talking about time. And this is what this is a little bit about here. So we do a little bit of math. Let's say I got two blocks here on the table. And I take these blocks, and they've got a number one and a number two on them. How many different ways can you arrange those? Yeah, how many different combinations, if you will?
Two.
A better term would be a permutation. But combination, same thing for this demonstration. Two. You can make them 1, 2, or you can make them 2, 1. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Now, what happens if I throw a third block in there? What happens? What do you think? How many different ways can you arrange those?
We got a lot more right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can go 1, 2, 3, or 1, 3, 2, or 2, 1, 3, or 2, 3, 1, or 3, 2, 1, or 3, 1, 2. So now there's 6 ways. All right. Now, what happens if you throw a fourth block in there? Any idea?
It goes a whole lot more.
Yeah, it does.
And a whole lot more.
It goes a whole lot more. Now, this is interesting because this you can do this. It's called a factorial. It's real simple. And if you take your 1 times 2, if you have 2 blocks, what do you get for an answer? You get 2. So there's 2 possible ways to arrange 2 blocks. So if you got 3 blocks, you multiply 1 times 2 times 3, you get 6. Right. And if you put 4, now it starts to jump up. 1 times 2 times 3 times 4 is 24. All right, now you can see how that curve starts to really increase right away. And if you put a fifth block in there, 5 times 24. Yeah, 120. Now, this was always a fun thing, so I would tell the kids I'd put 15 blocks out here. Now, you can arrange these into every possible combination that you can do that. If you can arrange that in every part, how long is it going to take you? I'll give you an A if you can do it by, what do you think? End of the class period? No.
Oh, there ain't no way.
End of the day. Well,
maybe.
Okay, let's see at the end of the day. So we got 15 blocks. So you got a calculator there, real quick. Take 1 times 2 times 3 times 4 times 5 times 6 times 7 times 8. Times 9, and go right through 15. Now, I think it's important that you do that for this reason, is that you can show this, you practice this, and you show this to other people when you talk about that. You guys all come up with the same answer? You all come up with 1.30 times 10 to the 10th?
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. That looks right?
That's what it says.
So in your,
I got to the 12th.
12th
or
10
to the 12th.
Power.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah, 10 to the 12th. And so what that means is after the 1, you're going to move that decimal place 12 places to the right. So you're going to have 12 more spots after that. Now, that's just something to think about. We're looking at 15 blocks here. And a few minutes ago, I talked about you having 100 trillion cells in your body. And it's interesting because even biologists, I'm thinking of one scientist in particular, what's his name? Sir Fred Hoyle. In fact, the quote you gave us earlier, Justin, about that, he made a comment similar to that. He says, the chance of higher life forms might have emerged in this way is comparable to the chance of a tornado sweeping through a junkyard that might assemble a Boeing 747 with the materials therein. Now, Fred Hoyle, he's not a Christian, no. But he realizes that it's impossible. A tornado putting together a jet, this is impossible. This cannot happen. There is no way.
He's got to think. Every sheet of metal, every rivet, every bolt, lines, power, hydraulics, ain't happening.
Rubber tires.
Yeah, ain't happening.
Exactly. So when you think about that, but he also had a comment too one time that for the complexity of a cell, one cell to come together, that the 13.7 billion years that we say how old the universe is, it's impossible for one cell because the intricacy of the cell is so complex for this to come together. Now you're 100 trillion cells. So I want you to think about 100 trillion for a second. Think about, well, here's a nose cell, you know, here's a fingernail cell, here's an elbow cell, whatever, skin cells, nerve cell, blood cells, whatever it might be. Now you've got all these different kinds of cells, and you speak about your immune system and the lymphatic system and the white blood cells that come through and the platelets that clog up when you get just a cut on your arm or something. Did this happen by chance? So we've got 100,000 cells, and we got 15 blocks here on the table. So how long does it take that? Well, I've never read about a positive mutation, but that's supposedly how we've come to be where we are now, through mutations. And a positive mutation is something that would make a cell get better or grow I've never come across some type of mechanism that scientists have said that, well, this is how we put more information in the genetic makeup of a cell. Yeah. Where does it come from? Because mutations seem to do what? They seem to break things down. They seem to tear things apart. But yet...
And it defies the laws of entropy.
Exactly, yeah.
Nothing absolutely. Gets better over time. Yeah. Things get worse.
Yep. If I know, Justin, I know you like cars, you know.
Yeah.
I figured if I want a car like yours, I would go buy myself a 1949 rusted up Volkswagen, put it in the garage, and in a few years it would start looking a lot nicer all by itself.
Start looking like a Challenger then.
Yeah.
That's good faith, isn't it?
Oh, as an evolutionist, you've got to have a great faith, no question about it.
Yes.
No question about it. So we've got our 15 blocks here. Well, let's say the mutation, let's say every time we move one of those blocks, that's a mutation. And mutations happen supposedly from, there's no question that you've got the gamma radiation coming from space, this type of thing. Anything that's going to come through and mess up something inside the cell a little bit. And usually what I've seen that mutations or radiation like that does one of three things. Number one, it doesn't do anything, it goes right through the cell. Like it would an x-ray if you're at the dentist's office or something, or it's going to be harmful to the cell, or number three, it's fatal. It can damage it so bad that the cell can't reproduce or anything anymore. But just for the sake of the evolutionists, we'll give them every benefit of the doubt and say, well, let's say every mutation is positive. It does something for the cell. We'll just say that for the heck of it. Now, you got on your calculator there... that many, we got 1.30767438 times 10 to the 12th. Now let's say that these mutations happen one time a second. So we're going to move these blocks like this from 1 to 2 to 2 to 1, one time a second, and that's a positive mutation. All right, so that's how many seconds it would take to find every single one of those. All right, that's a lot of seconds.
Yeah.
How many seconds is it? Well, to figure out how many seconds it is to, it's gone. You got to get that back.
Here.
It's, you can take that. No, you go right ahead and do it. Take, let's say that's, how many minutes is that? So take that number you got there on your screen and divide it by 60, because there's 60 seconds in a minute. And then you come up with
2.1794578 to the 10th.
To the 10th.
And then 10th.
How many minutes is that? That's a lot of minutes.
Yeah.
Well, if you divide that number by 60, it'll give you hours. So we divide that by 60 right away.
Okay, let me count my decimal places here.
1,242,880.
That's a lot
of hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many hours in a day?
24. Divided by 24.
Divide that by 24. And that's going to give us days.
That gives you
15,135,120.
Now, take that one more time. How many days in a year?
Yeah. 365.
You have 41,466 days.
No.
Or years. Yeah.
Years.
Years.
Listen, 15 blocks, and you're going to arrange them in every possible combination? 41,000 years? You got to sit there and think and let this soak into your brain a little bit.
Those are union blocks.
We're not counting break time, are we?
No.
This is not time to sleep. There's no time to eat. There's no time to go to the bathroom. This is nonstop, 24 hours a day. There's no question about it. 15 blocks. All right. Now, this is important that you do this a couple times. You think about this. It goes into your head because right away, we use numbers, millions and billions all the time. It's easy to say that stuff. I do not understand.
You can't conceive that
number. No. I don't understand what a million is. I don't understand what a billion is. Someone tells me, okay.
Or octillion. You know, you can see that in the science, you know.
It's unbelievable.
What's a million ping pong balls? Would it fill this room? Would it cover the floor? I have no clue. But I can work with the numbers really easy. And because of technology and the calculator, I can do this stuff really quick. And then it's important to put this in the kids' minds and go, well, here, let's see. You work this out. You tell me if it works. We're talking 15 blocks. Now, keep 15 blocks in mind with 100 trillion cells. Now, take your calculator. I'm going to show you a little trick here. This is called a factorial, and there's a factorial button on your calculator, usually in the upper left-hand corner. And it's an X with an exclamation point next to it. And it's probably a second function, so you have to hit second first, and then you hit that. So if you type in 15 and then type the second function and then the X with the exclamation mark next to it, that factorial button, that'll give you your 1 times 2 times 3 times 4 times 5 right away. Okay? Now, this just blows my mind because I've done this for years and years and it's still very difficult for me to comprehend this. Now, we put 5 more blocks on the table. So there's 20 blocks now. 20 blocks. Just try this once. Try 20 and hit the factorial button. And come up with a number here. Everybody should come up with the same number.
2.43290208 times 10 to the 18th power.
See, we're not even touching 10 to the 50th. There's just, we're talking, all right, now think about this. Now do that one more time. Let's say that's a second. And we're moving the blocks one time a second, and that's a positive mutation. So we move them one time a second. So you divide by 60 to get minutes. And then you divide by 60 again to get hours. And then divide by 60 one more time, or not 60, 24 to get days. And then divide by 365 to get years. Ben, how many years you get there?
7.7146816 times 10 to the 10th power.
Which is, if you write that out.
Horrible. I mean, that's
77 billion years. All right. This is the part that you got to let soak into the gray matter here a little bit. 77 billion years to take 20 blocks and arrange them one time a second in every possible permutation takes 77 billion years. Now, you're 100 trillion cells, and our cells just kind of arrange themselves. You know, there's 3 million chemical reactions to take place in every cell, every second of the day, in every living cell, every second of the day, 3 million chemical reactions. And your body is so wonderfully, miraculously made. And then you take a look at the diversity of plants and animals in the world, and you look at the complexity of all this, and we want to say, this happened by chance?
There's
no way.
It's not even close. I mean,
and it's totally, you're even setting aside the obvious stuff that we see every day. You know, it's systems within systems within systems. Everything, it's a symbiotic system. One thing relies on the other. It's hand in glove. If one thing, as we know it, didn't exist on this planet, life would not be sustainable. The plants give the oxygen. We give off the carbon monoxide that feeds them. The bees, you know, pollinating. It's just, it's totally, it's a symbiotic system, and you're going to deny an architect.
Well said.
Yeah, I mean it's staggering. It's unbelievable. But I used to be that guy.
Yeah.
You know, I always used to be arrogant and say it doesn't matter.
The science guy.
I was the science guy, and you know, I'd always say the best thing about science is it's real whether you believe it or not. That's how arrogant I was.
Yeah.
But that's what the world will do to you, and that's the direction it steers you to. You know, and that's why, and I don't want to kind of go there, but when I talk about creation, it's not a big deal to people that's already found the Lord, that walk with the Lord. But when you take a bunch of these people that's in this world and that's hypnotized by the wisdom of the world, now all of a sudden you're going to open up their eyes to new possibilities, to God, to this is divinely created, and there's no other explanation for it. You know, so it's good stuff, man. Love to hear it. Give us some more what you got right there.
No, I think it's important that that when you're talking to your friends and people that you meet on the street who have gone through the system, so to speak, and that's what they've been indoctrinated with, that, and that's a tough one to get through for them, because you hear it over and over and over and
brainwashing
over.
Is all it is.
It is. It is
brainwashing.
Wisdom of the world.
And you point them to the direction of the Word, and you say, well, let's look at this. You know, let's take a look at what God did. And I think, like I mentioned earlier in 1 Peter 3:15, you know, that be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have. And this is one of those times when we talk about science, and here's the reason. The reason that I believe that the earth could not have come about, life could not have come about by the Big Bang, could not have happened by chance. And it's real simple on a calculator, which everybody has. And it's just maybe turning people in that direction, says, well, let's look at this for a minute and do the math a little bit. You know, you've learned about the body in school. You've learned about it in biology class. You know what you've got here is pretty miraculous when you know you're not feeling well. I'll be better in a couple of days here. You know, I'll take a couple aspirin or something. And your body's able to heal itself. And you just take a look at, for example, your eyes. Just being able to, what you can do, what you can see, that your pupils, when it gets too bright, they close up and don't allow so much light in, and when it's dark they open up more. This happened by chance? It's amazing to think from an evolutionist point of view. Well, you've got to make all these mistakes first until the right thing happens.
Where's the time frame for that?
There is.
If we're already just mutating the cell, that takes billions of years just to arrange a cell, but yet here we are.
It's not even a cell. You're talking about just 20 blocks.
Yeah. Yeah, just 20. Yeah, 20.
A cell, you're talking about trillions.
Right. It's not even, no. No way.
I was looking into this, and I think I got his name right. Roger Penrose. He's a British mathematician. And he said, the odds to create a planet to sustain life like Earth would be 10 to 124th power to 1. You know, and like I said earlier, you know, 10 to the 50th power to 1 is a mathematical impossibility, considered a miracle. You know, so that's, you know,
10,124 mathematical impossibilities or slash miracles. You know, we're couched in a place that should not exist.
You know, and when you say that too, Justin, the thing I think about right away is how many people believe that, and that this happened and there is no God. It shows you the power sin has on this world, the grip that sin has on people's hearts and stuff, that the Bible is just a book of myths, this type of thing. Instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your heart and allow you to see the big picture of what God has really done. And that's a powerful grip on people. And that's a scary thought. And that makes me, motivates me so much more to want to share what I know with the people around me, with my neighbors, with my friends, my coworkers, the people that I'm in contact with, what God has done in my life, which is so important because, you know, when it's all said and done, you're going to live at one of two addresses, you know, you're going to live at heaven or hell. And when you really take a few minutes to think about what hell is and you do a little bit of research on that, it's bad. God is good, and hell is no good at all. It's bad. It's total loneliness. It's sorrow. It's pain. It's the lake of fire, etc. And that is just a terrible, terrible thing. And it motivates me as a child of God to want to share my faith with everybody I come in contact with, because I don't want to see anybody go to hell.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Yeah. You know, it's funny though. We look at these different theories and all these different people. Well, Big Bang for instance, right there. Now, if you know anything about the guy who came up with this stuff, George Henry Lemaître. You know, he was a priest. He was a Jesuit priest, you know. And when you start looking into the Jesuits and you start looking into, you know, Catholicism, they put more people into the scientific fields of astronomy and physicists than any other organizations in the world. You know, and once again, George Henry Lemaître, Jesuit priest, this guy's the one who invented the Big Bang. And I mean, when you look at this stuff and you look at the numbers and you do the math and you do the study, I mean, it's just mind-boggling that a priest, for all people, could be, you know, pushing forward some sort of theory like this that's just not, it's just not factually sound.
It's like one to try to please two masters.
Yeah, well definitely. Definitely a lot of that going on right there. Same thing Charles Darwin. I mean, he's high-level Freemason and stuff, you know. And when you look at these different secret societies and organizations, and that's where a lot of your big theories you find as fact are coming from. So doing the own study and listening to people like yourself, that's just a true blessing. We appreciate you being here today and doing that, talking about this stuff. So we hope that when we get this stuff out, the people that are tuning in and listening to us take appreciation with you and what you've had to say today, just like we have. So thank you so much for that, Steve.
Well, you're more so very welcome. It's my pleasure to be here. I thank you for the opportunity.
And one thing too, when I was looking at, I remember when I texted you and I was like, just the mathematics of this that I've been looking in, it's just mind blowing. He's like, oh well, he's going to touch on that anyway. But I mean, that number, I didn't realize when we were doing the calculator, that's what I had written down in my notes here, but I didn't know how that number came about, so I got to see how you got that number, so that was really cool. But I like Trey Smith. I follow him a lot, and in one of his videos he was talking about some of this stuff, and he was talking about, he said the odds of one single cell is 10 to 39,920 to 1. He said, so I like how he worded it. He said, imagine hitting the lottery every single day for the next 10,000 years, not missing a day. He said, you would still be nowhere close to this number. He said, you know, imagine being this cell, beating mathematical insanity, coming into existence only to die. This cell cannot live alone. It too relies on symbiotic systems outside of itself as well. And that system outside of another cell that relies on another system that's outside of that one. Each one overcoming the same odds at the same time. All must exist simultaneously to exist. It requires an architect.
Without a doubt, man. Without a doubt.
But I guess that's it for this go around.
Is that all we got?
That's what we got.
Good stuff.
Nice, short, sweet, and to the point for you guys this time.
I love it, man.
Yeah, keep tuning in, guys.
Once again, Steve, thanks for coming, buddy. Good stuff.
Most certainly welcome.
It's a blessing for us.
All right, keep digging, guys. Catch you next time.